Hello, welcome to our Worship Facility podcast, LED Video Displays, What to Look For When Purchasing One, with Daniel Gorley. I'm Gene Lass, editor of Worship Facility.
Hey guys, Carl Barnhill here. I'm talking with Daniel Gorley all about LED walls and how to purchase them. You're from Five Words Media.
Yep.
So tell me about a little bit about you, a little bit about the company.
Okay. Five Words Media is a company that I own. We've been in business about 10 years. We are an audio, video, lighting integrator based out of Phoenix, Arizona, Austin, and Orlando. My background, I was a worship tech pastor for about 10 years at a church called Pure Heart Church in Phoenix, Arizona. We started as a small church, and we grew insanely rapidly. And during the course of that, I learned everything there is to know about building teams and designing buildings and new facilities and renovation. And by the time I was done, I'm like, this is what I want to do, except I want to do it for other churches. So
how did that move from church staff member to the company? And then how have you guys grown?
Yeah, so I wish I could say it's been like straight line and every decision I made got me exactly where I wanted to be, right, one step closer. But basically, coming out of ministry, young man in ministry, first job I worked straight out of college, was not making a ton of money, had a wife, had multiple kiddos. You can see a painted picture of like, I need to figure out something to do. So ended up leaving church ministry, stayed in the church, like Sunday after stopped, sat in a pew, watched all the work I had worked on kind of unfold with all my volunteers. And then I took a job in production, and I actually took a job where I was starting a systems department, an integration for a production company. So it was really cool because I got to basically build a company for another company without my own money. So then later I did it on my own.
Right.
So it was kind of fun. I did that for about 3 or 4 years, and then I started Five Words Media.
So what are some of the pain points as you guys work with churches, ministries? Do you work with more corporate clients also, or mainly
just
ministry?
98% church.
So. Okay, so when you go into a church, when you're seeing them at places like this, what are some of the pain points that they're coming to you for?
Yeah, so I remember being in church ministry, and the way the pecking order was the senior pastor and the executive pastor would come to conferences like this, and then they would usually come home. Sometimes they would come home with gear that they bought off the show floor that I never asked for, and I had to like integrate into the system. Right. And then sometimes they would come back with ideas, which sometimes ideas are more dangerous than actual gear that you have to deal with. And so I just remember, you know, being in ministry as a young guy, not really having a voice and thinking about stuff. So now it's a little different. Like, one of the cool things post-COVID is like, if you're a production guy and you found yourself trying to slam together a live stream during, you know, COVID and pandemic, you actually got put in the favorites list on your pastor's iPhone. So he, you know, I had one guy say, my pastor didn't know my name before he had to sit and face me every week in live stream. So I think it's now different where I'm going to these shows and I'm seeing a lot more tech directors, a lot more production guys. So you guys get the ability to actually help inform others and make good decisions. So
we're seeing that too, definitely during pandemic, that, you know, the need for media, the need for, you know, gear, technology, you know, churches are definitely more open to that world.
Yep.
Pastors are especially, that maybe weren't as open to that world before. So let's talk LED walls specifically.
Yes.
All right. So have you seen an increase in churches installing LED walls? Are they, is that more of a solution now than a couple years ago?
It's been a thing. I mean, we have two different factors that are happening. One is during COVID, there are pastors that went out who were kind of against spending huge amounts in technology, who found themselves spending huge amounts in technology because of the necessity of the time. And it was a good situation because when it was spent wisely, there was a great return, right? And so we're reinforcing behavior. We're like, hey, man, our stream was awful, and then we fix it, and now it's great. And now we have this cycle where that's obviously kind of the preparation for where we're at currently. And then the second piece of it is that technology prices over time are completely falling and getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. So LED video is exactly in that situation where we're basically sitting with a cheaper wall that we can purchase, that we can install in a church that's affordable. And the price between a really good projector and a good LED wall is not that much difference at this moment.
Right. So let's walk through that a little bit more. Maybe a couple of years ago, a few years ago, people, churches think I need to put in a projector. Now there's definitely a conversation between projector and LED. So if I'm debating between the two, give me some things I need to be thinking about.
Yeah. So everything has positives and there everything also has negatives. So if you're a church and you're in a bright, ambient lit environment, say you've got windows, you got stained glass, you got those chandeliers that Aunt Betty donated to the church 25 years ago, and they look really pretty, but they're throwing light everywhere, and you're replacing your projectors, you're probably replacing your projectors with something that has a high output. You're probably replacing your projectors with something with good lensing, good screens, all those kinds of things. If you're in that situation, you should just stop. And then you should actually start looking at an LED video display. Because what we found, and we just walked this through with a church in our booth about an hour ago, you could be spending somewhere $15,000 to $20,000 for a projector with a lens that has the output that will cut through that light. And then you could probably spend about $50,000 with the right pixel pitch, and you can get an LED video wall. So it's like you're buying two projectors at $20,000 each, or you can buy a much better image, infinite brightness almost. It's not that, but it feels like that. And you could have a better experience and colors look better. Everything just looks better if it's done properly. So
how does the life, and we might dive into this in a few minutes, but how does the life of an LED wall compared to I'm going to be spending money on bulbs?
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
Yeah. So most projectors today are laser projectors that are being produced that are new. You can still get a lot of lamped projectors, but at its kind of end, lamped projectors were being 1,000 to 1,500 hours per lamp. Some of these lamps were $400. Some of these lamps were $900. Some of these projectors were dual lamped. So you'd have to stock two different projector lamps in there. And depending on your services, average church is replacing a lamp every 18 months. Okay. Right. So, you know, if you have two...
At what cost?
Yeah. $900, $500. Right. Bucks,
exactly.
You know, and then you're at the point where, okay, I'm doing this every year to year and a half, or if John left the projector on, now it's every 6 months. So that's kind of that. On the LED video wall side of things, you're purchasing if you're purchasing a good wall, and we'll talk about that in a second, and you're purchasing good components. I have a church right now that they're sitting at year 13 or 14 with their LED wall, and they bought spares and they got extra pieces, and the company is local, so they're able to get things serviced. And that wall's ticking along, and they're now budgeting for their new wall that they're going to buy on year 15. So, you know, you're at the same level as most projectors last 7 to 10 years. Most LED walls last 10 years. If you're really good and you maintain them, you can stretch it to 14, 15
years.
So
definitely worth the money to get those extra few years out of the life. All right, so let's say I'm a complete newbie. I'm a church looking for in this space. What do I need to be looking for?
First off, I don't think you're a newbie. I think you're pretty seasoned on the technology side of things.
Thanks, man.
But I'm role-playing, so we'll do it. So you're new. You're new. All right, what should you look for in an LED display? Okay, so I lead a class, and we go through this, and we're talking, and I describe something that's familiar because LED walls are new technology for a lot of people. People that are buying them right now are buying them for the first time. So the first time you buy anything, there's a lot of questions. So what I use as an analogy is cars, right? Everybody who's here has bought a vehicle at some point. Driven a vehicle. You've driven several. Your family's owned them. All the cars have four wheels, steering wheel, and an engine, right? Unless you're crazy and you have like a tricycle car thing or whatever. So we all know that I can buy a car for $10,000. I can get like a Rio or something like that, and I could buy that. Or I can buy a car for $100,000, okay? And there's differences in that car. How fast does it go? Capacity, towing, speed, torque, all that. Same thing with LED walls. Like, LED walls, instead of four tires, a steering wheel, and an engine, we have the LED cabinet, which is the frame that all the LEDs are in. We have the modules themselves. We have a power supply. We have a receiving card. And we have a processor. Okay? Those are all the pieces that, unless it's a very specific, unique product, they all have those pieces. So the question goes is, what's the difference between a $10,000 LED wall? What's the difference between a $100,000 LED wall?
Yeah.
And you'll find a lot of it lines up with like cars, right? So in cars, we have domestic and imports. right? We have like, who's like ever driven a GMC vehicle? You know, and I'm kind of saying things because it used to be this is made in America. Now it's made in Americas, right? Because some of these are built in like, you know, Latin America kind of thing. But you can go and you can purchase a GMC car. You have a service center in your city or in your coast or whatever. You can call somebody. They have parts. You can get parts. You can get something fixed. You can get something swapped. That's same on LED walls. LED walls, there are manufacturers that are actually based in the United States. They may manufacture 100% of everything here. They may build and assemble here. They have parts that are here. They have bins of LEDs that if you need an LED module to get fixed, you can call them 8, 10, 12 years later, get them fixed. And that costs money, right? That's built into the product. If you've ever run a business, you have to have that smart service guy. You have to have a shop that puts it all in. So when I hear people buying walls and they're buying something that doesn't have that in place, but it's insanely cheap, I look at it through the lens of stewardship and I'm like, these are tithe dollars. And if you're going to your church pastor and you're buying something that could be the equivalent of a house and you're buying the cheapest thing on planet Earth, and just like cars, it's a deteriorating asset the second you drive it off the lot, how can you justify that to your pastor and say, I'm making a wise decision? So, so that's kind of the first conversation I have with people. So
good. Should I have both? Should I have projectors for my, screen content and LED for on stage?
So the answer immediately in my soul is no, but the reality pragmatist in me is, you know, sometimes you can get a wall on stage and there's existing projection. You can't afford all three. I'm always a believer in buying the best thing and the most of it you can within your budget, right? So if I had the option where buying all three screens new, but buying cheaply versus buying a really quality center per screen and then waiting a year or two and then replacing the sides, I would do that. I know it's disappointing. I know it's really nice to get new gear day. Like everybody sees this post, new gear day, you know. I know it's exciting to get 30 cases coming instead of 16, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be the one who has to maintain it. My volunteers are the ones that have to deal with it. And my senior pastor's on stage, and if he gets on stage and his microphone cuts out because I've chosen a very poor LED wall that causes interference, I have to deal with that. Or if somebody something breaks literally 4 weeks after it's installed and I had an option to choose something better, I have to deal with that.
Good. I'm going to take a step back for a second. Why is the visual aspect of worship important? Why do I need to spend money?
Right.
I mean, I can just use fluorescent. We can just be in a... Why is the visual aspect of worship important?
Yeah. So history lesson, grew up as a Southern Baptist guy, growing up in family worship. We had bulletins. Anybody have like paper bulletins? Yeah. Then bulletins became like transparency slides, right? And the whole idea behind that was like, I'm in a room with 400 people. I don't know the words to these songs. I need to be able to know the words so I can sing with my neighbor and there's a corporate activity happening. So that's how we got video displays for live environments, right? And so now we get into this world where video has become the media and the method. It's not printed word. It's not transparencies. So we got our screens. Typically, they're on the left and the right. At the very base level, we have graphics going on those screens. And that's a way to unify your congregation. It's a way for the pastor to put the text up, people to read it. You know, in biblically, we talk about reading words and God, you know, basically placing them in our hearts. So that's a way to do that. And then, yes, we also are capturing live video, putting those on the screen. So that's the history of it. The trouble has been that now that the technology has gotten so good and attractive, and with an LED video wall, I can literally put something that looks amazing on my computer monitor on stage and have it amazingly represented. I can put our pastor, I go to a church called Christ Church of the Valley, and we're sitting there, and Ashley, who's one of our pastors, he's teaching, and he shows an image of like a location, and he's got a screen behind him. He's there. Like he legitimately, you have to look and then realize with a couple of cues in the video, but he's there. And as he's describing the visual of what he's trying to portray and relating scripture to you, it is so clear that you can literally see it. So I think that's kind of how we got to where we're at with video. So
obviously it enhances
yes.
worship,
yes.
and we feel like it's worth the value to do that.
Right.
So help me understand LED displays. Are you know we talked about a little bit about volunteers, maintenance mm-hmm. of that. Is it easier with LED to maintain for my volunteers to maintain, move around on stage, put it together, disassemble, yeah. move it? Is that an easier process, or is it easier for me to just leave the projector?
Yeah, so I mean, it, like any technology, there's a learning curve to pieces. Some LED wall manufacturers make it easier than others. So one of the brands that we rep a lot is a company called Thor. The cool things about Thor is that there's pieces on the back that are identified by color tag. Some glow in the dark, which is nice. It bolts together really quickly. The hardware that's made to support it so you can move around is from them. Some LED wall manufacturers, you have to buy truss from somebody else. You have to buy a third-party thing. It may not quite fit all of those different things. So I think you have to have a pretty basic fundamental knowledge of building things, okay? YouTube University is a thing. There's so many guys during COVID that figured out how to make church work and happen. And I think you can do that with LED walls to some effect. Now, I will say if you're flying a wall, like if you're rigging it, if you're bolting it to a surface, you should hire a company to do it. But if you're ground stacking a wall, a lot of times what we've done is we'll sell to a church, we'll do the initial setup with their volunteers and their tech directors, and then we leave and we're 100% confident as long as they follow the guidelines we train them on that they can rig it, break it apart, and rebuild it.
Good. I got one more story I want you to share here in a second. But as I do, you guys be thinking of any questions or struggles that you have, and we'll kind of talk about here in a second. So you in your workshops and your presentations, you have broken walls before to kind of show the durability or the...
When you say that, it makes it sound like I pick them up and like throw them on
right.
the ground.
Right, so walk me through that.
So basically what I do, and I think it's super pragmatic and awesome, is I take one of these panels that you can buy for like $300-$400 a panel, right? And then I take another panel, one that's in our booth that's like $1,300 a panel. There's a net difference of $1,000 between these two panels, same size. I hook them up to the same processor. I feed them the same signal, and then I start playing with them. You know, so we're sending the same signal to the same processors. They're about the same pixel pitch. The ones we were showing, one was 2.9 millimeter, the other is 2.5 millimeter, so very slight difference. And we start turning up brightness, turning down brightness. Most people who have used an LED wall know that you never run an LED wall inside in a church at full brightness. It will literally, if you've ever been in Vegas and you go or Times Square and the walls cast light down the alley, like that would be the feeling in your church. So we end up taking these walls and we turn them down and we pump images through it. On a cheaper wall, the lower, darker part of the brightness range actually looks pretty awful. Color variations aren't as distinct. The gray, the blacks turn gray. There's all these weird things. We do contrast tests. We do gamma tests. We do saturation tests. And usually by the end of it, we finish our class and everybody's like, I totally see a difference now. Just like you're test driving a car, there's a big difference between a Ford Pinto and a Porsche, right?
Yeah, awesome. All right, as we close, what struggles do you have about LED? Yeah.
Buying or leasing? Okay. Yeah. So question was, you know, should you buy, should you lease? I think it depends. Okay. So talking as just a business, not even talking about the tech side of it, when you purchase something, it becomes an asset. When you lease something, it becomes a liability. So if you're in a financial position where purchasing something isn't right for you, lease every time. Okay. I would rather say lease to own. Okay. So we work with a couple of different companies that are not manufacturer leasing and financing companies. Okay. They're not sole mission is to sell you more of their stuff. We work with third party Christian financing and leasing companies. And I've only had one leasing contract ever be written up as a lease only. Because most of the time, what it is it's a way for the church to experience the technology now, pay it over time, get to the point, pay that whatever balloon payment, that final payment. And then now you own the product. So I would not rent an LED display from a production company if I was renting more than 2 times a year. Okay. Reason being is when we talk about the most expensive LED walls out there, those are the ones that your production company is renting or purchasing to rent. Okay. They're purchasing something that can turn and burn 250 times in a year. You're buying all the extra hardware, all the extra connections, things like that, that, you know, you may change your church set 3 or 4 times a year, maybe. Okay. So I think if you get to a point where you're not just renting a wall for Easter or for Christmas, then you should be talking about purchase. And if you can't afford the payment all at the front, I would do a lease to own.
Do you guys provide both?
Yeah, we'll do both. Yeah. Rental side, we have a wall that's like a demonstration wall. Honestly, most of the time we're talking about LEDs. You guys are here. You see what an LED wall can look like in an event. Most of your board has never seen one or realized what they've been seeing when they've seen one. So we'll come set up. Sometimes we'll leave it for a weekend or if you have a special event, you know, that kind of a deal. But we don't rent in large mass because typically companies like that sell only what they rent, if that makes sense. And we like to pick what works for you. That makes sense.
What other questions do you guys have?
Did that answer your question? Cool. Okay.
How can people stay in touch with you and find you, not here, but
sweet
digitally?
Digitally. So company's name is 5 Words Media. The website is the number 5wordsmedia.com. You can find us on socials at 5 Words Media, so that's probably the easiest. If you want an email, it's sales@5wordsmedia.com. Again, we're in Phoenix, Austin, Orlando. Yeah, and we'll happy to answer questions, even if we don't end up selling you something. So
awesome. So this interview, along with a lot of other training, will be on the Making Sunday Happen podcast. That's at makingsundayhappen.com and wherever you get podcasts. So thank you guys so much. Thank you, Daniel.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Tune in next time for our next episode, Using Color in Your Lighting to Maximize the Worship Experience, with Tom Stanziano. I'm Gene Lass, editor of Worship Facility. This has been the Worship Facility Podcast.